Nevada is facing a budget crisis. According to estimates, sales and gaming taxes fell drastically during the state's COVID-19-related shutdown in March and April, leaving a significant budget hole for the current fiscal year ending June 30th. So how are lawmakers and others addressing the issue? KUNR's Paul Boger has the story.
When Governor Sisolak declared a fiscal emergency last week, it was the first time many in the state got a sense of just how severe the economic fallout related to COVID-19 will be. The governor's office is projecting a deficit between $741 and $911 million. To put that in perspective, it's roughly a fifth of the state's total $4.5 billion general fund budget for the 2020 fiscal year.
Then I think what we'll do is we'll go ahead and call this meeting to order.
That's why lawmakers on the legislature's interim finance committee this week approved a motion to transfer the entirety of the state's $401 million rainy day reserves into the general fund, even though it'll only cover a portion of the shortfall. For Democrats such as Speaker of the Assembly Jason Frierson, the move is the first step in addressing the deficit.
We, for the first time, put money in the rainy day fund in 2017 for this exact purpose. And thank God that we did, but we have this money in a rainy day fund, and I don't think you stop paying your power bill because you don't know what's going to happen next month.
But Republicans on the committee disagreed with that plan, saying they wanted more details on how the money will be allocated. GOP Senator Ben Kieckhefer says lawmakers should have taken a more conservative approach and held on to some of that money, because the economic effects of COVID-19 will be felt long after the initial lockdown in March and April.
Would it make more sense to transfer half of it now and then see how we're doing from a cash flow perspective another month from now?
Of course, it's not just the state that's feeling the pinch. In Nevada, municipalities rely on what's called consolidated, or C-tax. It's a formula the state uses to distribute tax money collected on behalf of local governments back to those governments. However, there's typically a delay, and revenue estimates for March won't be made available until next week. That means many cities are still unsure of their financial situation. Case in point, the city of Reno. Under state law, all public bodies must submit an annual operating budget to the state by the end of the month. So, in accordance with the law, the city council essentially adopted a flat budget yesterday, meaning they'll pretty much operate under the same budget as last year.
Okay, I have a motion by Councilmember Dewar, a second by Councilmember Brekus. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Even though Reno may be facing a $30 million shortfall itself. Debbie Lochner, the city's finance director, says passing a status quo budget now gives the city a little more wiggle room later.
By passing this budget, it gives us the maximum flexibility in order to make the adjustments. This also will give us a baseline to measure the total impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. That will let us know where the cuts have come, and we'll be able to track it better as well.
Fortunately for Reno, property taxes, the city's second largest source of revenue, seem yet unfazed by the pandemic, and that may help soften the blow. Public schools, on the other hand, are more reliant on the state. In Washoe County, nearly a third of the school district's budget comes from the Distributive School Account, or DSA. That account, by the way, is the single largest expenditure out of the state's general fund. Now, it's fair to say lawmakers will do everything they can to avoid cuts to public education, but they may not have a choice. Mark Mathers is the Washoe County School District's chief financial officer. He says they're looking at a 3-5% cut in state funding per pupil, even though Nevada spends less on public education than most states.
We think, you know, for these reasons, it is prudent for us to prepare. There's only so many places the state can go in terms of cutting its programs. And K-12, higher education, and health and human services are the three big items.
Again, this is just an estimate. No one knows for sure what the final numbers will look like in a few months. In the meantime, Governor Sisolak has asked all state agencies to submit plans examining cuts at 4, 6, and 14%, the highest amount he can legally cut without legislative approval. If more cuts are needed, he'll have to call a special session. And as for what's going to be cut, that remains to be seen. Paul Boger, KUNR News.